This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. Today we are talking with Paul Nussara, a bisexual activist and local community builder. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much. It's great to be on the show.
Yeah, we met at Because this year. That was great. That was pretty exciting time for me. It was my first one.
Oh, it was beautiful, too. They are stepping up their game year after year in good old Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they run a great conference for anybody who's listening who wants to take a day off or 2 days off from work and go to Minneapolis. I highly recommend it.
It's great. A lot of us people of the same mind there, so it's pretty cool. So you facilitate By Request. That is a local group in New York. Is that correct?
It's one of the few local groups in New York, but yeah, and it dates back to the early 90s when the local folks of a fluid, queer, bi nature were all meeting on Sundays for a potluck and sort of an informal discussion. And that group got so large that it eventually had potentially some inner conflict that it broke out into two groups. And those two groups are still happening now. One is By Perspective, that they just changed themselves from Sunday to Saturday. So that was a big kind of major change. They've been going as that long, like 25, 30 years or so. And By Request meets twice a month. We also meet at the center now, though that wasn't always the case. And we have more topic-oriented, you know, here's the topic, let's talk about it, as long as we keep on the bisexual focus. By Perspective, as I understand it, doesn't really have a topic every time, but it's kind of like an open, who shows up decides what the agenda is, which is another format for those kinds of discussion groups.
And
for about 5 years.
I think Francesca is doing that now, or
I don't know. One of the things that maybe we can talk about this in more detail further through is the burnout factor. And I can't do it all. As much as I want to go to different kinds of groups and check it all out, I just, you know, focusing on My Request is my contribution in a way, and it's also, it helps me, so it's, I'm doing it for myself as well, so I can't go to all of them. So I don't know if Francesca is running it. Congratulations.
Yeah. So how long have you been running By Request?
I sort of inherited it in a very informal way about 5 years ago. The man who had been leading it up until then for some years, probably also 5 or 6 years, Tom Seitz, he was a great guy, and he had built a team of about 5, 6, 7 of us who were also co-facilitating. So rotations of, what do you want to talk about next time? And then whatever you wanted to talk about, you put that on the agenda and you did it. But then he graduated on from his 9-to-5 job. He retired and said, I want to go do what I really want to do, which is teaching high school history. So as he was doing that, he had to step away from My Request. And eventually other people who were part of that core, you know, Dennis Slade moved to San Diego. Allison moved further into New Jersey and isn't able to make the meetings. You know, there was a guy, Alex, who moved to Florida, right? Slow but sure, I was the last person standing. So, and I had the keys to the shop, so I'm keeping it going.
Yeah, just you. That's great. Yeah, I was looking at your site, and I think what your last topic was social media, which is a good topic to talk about.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of those topics are me sitting alone in a room thinking, what are the varieties of impacts of the topic on the variety of people that might be in the room? So in terms of intersectionality, I try to think, okay, we're going to have old people and young people, and they're both going to have a different perspective, say, in this case, on digital media. We're going to have people of color, and we're going to have people of privilege. We're going to have, you know, men and women in various, you know, stages. We're going to have, oftentimes we have trans people. It is New York. And I identify trans people who come to the meeting. So, but, you know, that becomes a little bit difficult. I try and keep some perspective and count on who's coming and try and figure out if I'm, you know, delivering a service properly. So that becomes difficult because I don't want to say, wait, are you a naturally born woman or not? I mean, that almost doesn't matter. I do want to get a sense of, is there gender, is the gender spectrum being represented in the room?
And that, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And, or racial perspective, right? So characteristically, though, we do get two-thirds men and one-third women. It's rare that we get an even gender split.
Well, that's great, though. Yeah.
Not bad. I think the flip in that, because there are, you know, statistically, there are more bi women than there are bi men. The way that that flips is the ones that need the support from this kind of discussion group are the ones coming out are the men.
Yes, yes. This is my own theory on that, is that, you know, that we are taught, women are taught to work as groups and seek support from each other, and we talk about things. Mm-hmm. And that's something that isn't instilled into men, kind of a... So I think we probably don't have to attend as many support groups because we get support all the time. But that's just a theory. I'm sure it's wrong.
No. It may not be wrong in the sense of it's not the absolute. That's not the absolute only reason why that would be the case. Society does, quote unquote, accept bisexuality in women in a different kind of way. And so women may feel that they don't need this kind of support group, but they might need another kind. Right. So and also because it's a discussion group that's topical, I find that folks float in and out at a 2-year pace now. Not everybody. There's folks that have been there going, you know, Sheila Lambert, who does the Bi Book Awards here in New York. She's been coming since the beginning. There are other members of the group that are coming, you know, for 20 some odd years. But for the most part, people will come to the group because they need to figure something out. Maybe they need to figure out how to talk about it and how to explain it to their cousins who they really want to come out to. Or maybe they're having trouble just, you know, what are the words and what do the words mean? Like, that's confusing enough as it is. So they'll come. Once they get conversant enough after about a year and a half or 2 years, then they sort of drop away. They don't need the group in the same way, so they don't come. And at first I was worried about that because I was like, where's that person? I haven't seen them in 3 months. Meanwhile, the numbers, 25 or even at the best, which was actually the worst, we got 30 people coming on for like 2-3 months at a time when I first started. And I was, you know, 30 is way too many. But when people started to drop away and I didn't see them, I started to worry. But then the numbers didn't go down. So I was like, oh, what is really going on here? So now I'm putting pieces together and seeing that that's really what is going on. You know, people are getting satisfied and moving on.
Yeah, and I understand that because when I first came out, it was like the words just... that I couldn't figure them out. And, you know, thank goodness there was the Binet Facebook group. These very patient people, they helped me understand just the the terminology was just like, I didn't get it.
Sure.
So it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you were just talking about, you know, groups getting very large. First of all, I'd like to talk about do you feel is the basic tools that you need to form and maintain local groups?
One is kind of a determination to make sure that you get a consistent announcement schedule out. We did have folks come to the group at one point or another who said, I've been to this group 5 or 6 times, but this is my first time entering the building. And in those cases, the reason was they didn't, because we had recently moved to the center, to the LGBT center, and there's a big gay flag waving out front, and they didn't want to, that association was weird for them. They didn't want to get into that. So, but having a consistency of here we are again, and here we are again, and here we are again, then folks can take their time to arrive and show up.
So where do you post that at the center and through social media, or do you have like flyers?
So we're renting space at the center, and as a result of that, we get into the Center Happenings newsletter, which gets mailed out to anybody who's a member of the center. But we get a small percentage from that. usually when we get new people, I ask them, so how'd you hear about us? And characteristically, the answer is Meetup. I'm on Meetup. And Meetup has a great interface for you join the tantric group and suddenly, you know, the bisexuals of the local area are going to pop up as a potential something similar. Now, maybe some people don't like that association of the tantra with bisexuality, but, you know, that happens. But it could also happen for a variety of other reasons. There's queer happy hours on Meetup in New York. There's lots of different groups doing lots of different things that touch on LGBT or specifically B, and having that on Meetup makes it work.
I agree with that one, too. I found several great groups to Meetup that were not anywhere else. I couldn't find them. And, yeah, it works out very well. Type in bisexual and it comes up, and all kinds of stuff, queer groups and, you know.
No, so we also had a website that is kind of old school, you know, programming behind the scenes. And I'll usually post the notes to the website and then copy that and put it in an email and send it out to, I think I'm on 15 or 20 bi-focused Yahoo and Google groups.
Oh.
Send it out to them. And some of those are national, so that... I've had situations where, say, Robin Oaks in Boston knows someone who's going to be coming to New York and that person needs support. And Robin said, oh, you should check out this, or, you know, check out my request in New York, and there's people there that will welcome you, or, you know, that kind of thing helps to put it out nationally. And then they see it too. The folks at the national scene are looking and, you know, they're reading the messages. Faith, from Binet had told me that she noticed that I was recycling some of my messages because, you know, at a certain point, it's tough to make those group discussions every time. And because people are coming in a kind of a two-year cycle, it doesn't, you know, it takes a lot of time to do that. So I go back 2 years and say, what did we do 2 years ago? And then I, you know, update the message a little bit or update the topic and then repost it. So I know that people are seeing it, and I know that they're seeing it there. So it's all good. So the other question was about that comes to my mind is this extra piece about people that are coming. You know, if I get five or six people that are brand new and never been before, you know, we don't have to do the topic that's on discussion. Five new people come, they have five things on their head. Like, what are you worried about? And that's much more what it should be. It's sort of addressing who's in the room. If the room doesn't want to talk about it, what I've written out, then let's not.
Yeah, that's great. That's because sometimes, yeah, the atmosphere is something else, and like people really need to talk about things. They're really kind of feeling alone, and yeah, that's great. So you were talking about having a group of 30. That's pretty large. How do you manage to keep building people engaged? Do you do anything like breakouts or?
I haven't in this format only because we only have 2 hours. We have a kind of a structure that people are expecting, which is, you know, in the first half hour, it's kind of late because people are still arriving. In the second half hour, we really get into it. Right at the break of the first hour, we do announcements and pass the hat because I can't pay for it myself. And we take account of who's going to go to dinner afterwards, right? So this format is already set up, and I don't want to break out that too much. Also, because, you know, when does that critical mass of people get to that point? It's like people are wandering in. I apologize for being late. You know, don't apologize. You got here, and it's not like that. It's not so structured that you can't just join the conversation. So I want it to be more informal in that regard. But, yeah, if you have 30 people around the room and you've got basically 2 hours, which is at most 120 minutes, that's, what's that, 4 minutes per person to have something to say, and that's not enough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what we do when it's early and you've only got, you know, 5 or 10, I don't, you know, let it be conversational. You can talk to each other from across what point one person made and the next person made. But when it gets to be 15 to 20, then I ask people to catch my eye, and then I will put them in a queue to respond to whomever else was speaking. So when you get 30, you know, Joe is speaking now, and Betty wants to speak in response to that, but she's five more in the queue. by the time she wants to say something, four other people have said salient things. And now, you know, maybe Betty doesn't feel comfortable going back to Joe's point, or, you know, you're moving backward in the conversation. It becomes difficult when it gets to be 30.
I can imagine.
You know, I have had to think about breaking out for different reasons. I mean, in the cafeteria of life, people go to a different table to enjoy their meals for a reason, right? And so in New York City is a group called Fluid by Design that's specifically for men of color. And I've thought about separating out along gender lines or along age lines even. Sometimes some of the things that older people say are absolutely insulting to younger folks. And it's important to be sensitive to the different experiences that are in the room and to check that in a certain way. And, like, what you have to say and your anecdotes on life are not the same anecdotes as everybody else. So don't make them, you know, your anecdotes be kind of like the way the world is, because they ain't. And keeping that perspective as part of the group is important for me, at least.
Excellent.
So
you do a lot of other stuff. You do a lot of other bisexual activist work simply by supporting the other activists. What else are you up to?
Well, the Bi Book Awards are coming up, and Sheila has a lot on her plate as a result of that. You know, Sheila Lambert, who does that, she's the head of the Bi Writers Association. Last year, I assisted her with a kind of a visual display of each of the categories and the books, so that it was Oscar's moment. You know, as she would say, in the category of speculative nonfiction, and she would name each book, I had a visual that presented the book on the big screen behind her. She announced the winner. I had to promise that I would absolutely wait until she announced the winner first, and then I would show the book that finally wins. So I'm going to do that again this year. And look, going to Minneapolis for the Because Conference, that may be seen as supporting the Minneapolis folks, which I'm happy to do, but I get a lot out of it. So if folks are listening and they think, you know, I don't have anything to contribute, which I have a feeling there's a lot of folks who might be thinking that, no. Go for yourself and see there, once you're there, what's missing? What can I do to help? Can I, you know, if it's a local group that needs tables set up and chairs put out, you know, arrive 10 minutes early. And that can be the level of the commitment if you've got a busy schedule and you're in a big city and you don't really want to get fully pulled in. Okay, I'm just going to help in the 10 minutes before and the 10 minutes after.
Absolutely. That's activist work in itself. I mean, everybody is important. And, you know, that is so helpful. And it really supports the group. So it's very encouraging. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add today, Paul?
Well, the local work is what's really important. We have internet at our disposal that helps us parse out ideas and get connected and realize that the bi community is present. It is there, even if it isn't visible in your daily life. But if anybody is in a space where they feel like, I want to have a local connected, you know, like meeting physical bodies in a space, you know, they can reach out to me or a lot of other people and just, you know, how can I do this? Feel, you know, anybody who's listening, if they want to make topics for their group, steal by request. It's not a problem. You can even just repost from that. Whatever by request is talking about, we're going to be talking about it too. I don't mind. And then that gives you half the format is already set. So, and I have notes about how the group runs and that kind of stuff. If folks, you know, they can reach out to me, paul@byrequest.org, and I'm happy to send them, you know, the way that the meeting runs and all that kind of fun stuff. Yeah, make it, you know, look at that. I got a bell. We need to have more of the meeting in person, because we're people.
Exactly. And that is really how we're going to build our community. The internet is great. It's done wonderful things, but we really need to be together and supportive that way and be a force. You know, that's the only way I can say it.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to pass the hat. You don't have to do it yourself. See, it goes out and pass the hat.
Well, thank you. And thank you for offering to help people get set up. That's an excellent idea. I think the topic thing is really important. I had someone asking me questions the other day, and I was like, I don't really know, but I'll find out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you. All links will be provided on the website. Yeah. Remember, everybody, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Goodbye, Paul.
From New York City.
Yay. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.